Il-program li ser tisimaw uwa miġjub lilkom bi xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
Welcome to University Matters on Campus FM. This is Patricia Camilleri, inviting you to discover what research, projects and events are taking place at the University of Malta. With me today for another in our mini-series of programs concerning the Faculty of Arts, I have with me Professor Mario Vassallo, acting head of the Department of German, about which he shall be speaking mainly. However, he is also an academic, I might say, within the Department of Sociology. And it is about the Department of Sociology that Professor Mark Anthony Falzon will be speaking, as he is head of that department. Welcome to you both. As our time is very limited, I shall dispense with my usual bio introductions and leave it to my guests to introduce themselves and their departments to our listeners. Perhaps we could start with you, Professor Vassallo. The Department of German is quite a young department compared to some other language departments, but I know that it's developing fast.
Yes, it's a department which was started very recently, actually, in 2006, 2007. When a decision was taken that we should not just produce BA general students, but that we should go much more than that, and actually have now developed a full range of programs. In order to do that, of course, we needed outside help. We needed to recruit people, and we've been helped extensively by DAD, the German Academic Exchange Service. And with me today, you know, there's practically all the members of staff except one full-timer, and all the part-timers are not here, of course. So let me just introduce them. I'll start with the one next to me, who is the DAD lector. That is the person who is seconded on to us by the German Exchange Service. And that is Dr. Ralf Heimrath. And then there is Dr. Katrin Schödel. Both of these are senior lecturers. And then we've got the one who's been with us most, Katrin Dautel, who came here as a Sprachassistent, a teaching assistant. She was so good at a job which she applied for. And she got.
Very good. Perhaps each of you could say a few words then.
Well, thank you. I'm Ralf Heimrath. I'm from Germany. I'm a native speaker in German, and I'm glad to work here. I also work for the German Academic Exchange Service. Well, this, if some students or researchers want to go to Germany or to re-exchange German researchers to Malta and all over the world, between Germany and countries all over the world, we are working.
I'm Katrin Schödel. I came to Malta about 3 years ago. I came from the south of Germany, from Bavaria, from the city of Nuremberg. I also really enjoy teaching German here at the University of Malta. And whilst my special area is German culture and literature, what I especially enjoy about teaching here is the intercultural aspect, the meeting between different cultures.
And my name is Katrin Dautel. I've been here for 4 years already. I've been very happy that I had the opportunity to start as an assistant lecturer at the Department of German. I come from the south of Germany as well, from Tübingen. It's a city close to Stuttgart. But I studied mainly in Bonn and Florence, graduated there, and I'm currently reading for a PhD in German literature from the University of Malta.
What programs does the department actually offer?
We have the full range of programs. In fact, we have the diploma, which is intended to reach people who are actually at work in different segments. And in fact, it's got specializations like technology, you know, engineering, etc. Then we have the full BA courses, both general and honors. We have had quite a nice crop of MA students already who have graduated. And of course, we also have the PhD program, of which Katrin is so far the only student.
What about numbers? Have you managed to increase your numbers over the years? Do you find there's some interest in German?
There's a problem with students because German is not so popular in the schools. But through our outreach program, and perhaps you know, one of my colleagues can say a little bit more about that, we try to get people know more about our program and try to attract them. We have had 12 students this year, which is quite good for a young department as young as ours. And our stream of graduates has been quite consistent so far.
Yes, since we came to Malta, we had an outreach program in the schools, in the Maltese secondary but also primary schools. Every year there's a language assistant coming to Malta, and she does a kind of fun session in the primary schools to introduce simple German words to children already. She also goes to the junior college. She offers conversation lessons, for example, and teaches 2 hours per week there to keep the students in touch with native speakers as well. We also had an education fair a couple of years ago where we tried to reach all the students of German in Malta. It was very successful. We had about 1,200 visitors. It was meant to introduce German to students in a playful way, but also to show them that there's a lot of German economy here in Malta, that there are a lot of German companies who had stalls so they could introduce their work to the students.
We also had a competition.
Yes, we launched a competition on the topic of Spot German in Malta last year, and we got a large number of exciting contributions to that. And the competition was partly organized via Facebook and resulted in a lively Facebook group also called German in Malta, where all members can exchange information about culture and language in the German-speaking countries, and everybody interested is very welcome to join. There was also an exhibition produced with the nicest entries to this competition. The exhibition can currently still be viewed in the German Maltese Circle. And finally, there is a brochure combining some of the nicest entries with information about all the different institutions teaching German in Malta.
What about the opportunities that students would have? It would be nice if the students were able to actually go to Germany or feel German for themselves.
Yes, we have a very good program on the Erasmus program, and we actually encourage students to try and spend at least one semester outside Malta, and that is very important because through that they get immersion into the language and the culture, and when they come back you can see the quality change in them. But besides that, we also offer scholarships, and DAD has been very helpful in this regard.
We offer language courses in the summer at high schools and at universities, and we offer master studies for 2 years, and also research programs in universities in Germany, and they are very helpful for the young people and for the students and for the researchers in Malta for their own studies too, and also for the economy perhaps later.
These are not limited to people who do German courses here. The scholarships are open to everybody, and in fact we've been helping people in other sciences, for example in medicine and in engineering, to go and do postgraduate courses in German, always through the DAD presence in Malta, and we're very grateful for that.
Well, certainly Germany has been present in Malta, as you say, economically for many years.
Oh yes, there are quite a lot of German tourism, a lot of German tourism in Malta, and quite an extensive range of companies. I mean, the best known are, for example, Transtechnik, but there are about 80 to 90 companies in Malta.
As many as
which are German-related or German-owned. Operating in Malta, so there's a wide range of activities, and the link between the economies is quite vast and quite extensive. Besides that, there is also a political link. Germany and Malta, especially since the membership of Malta and the EU, have worked very closely together, and we've had also high-ranking visitors coming, and that is something which the department also involves itself in. We've had public meetings, for example, when the Dr. Werner Hoyer came to Malta some years ago, we hosted a huge assembly of people who were wanting to discuss with him in a public meeting Europe's future, and it was very well attended. So it is not simply a teaching department. It's a department which has a teaching program, but which is very deeply engaged in research and in outreach, both with students and with the Maltese society as a whole.
In fact, the number of German tourists, I don't have the numbers from the top of my head, but I think they've increased enormously, and certainly the German tourists seem to be particularly interested in those aspects of Maltese tourism that we are very keen to develop.
The history, the
archaeology.
And the culture.
They seem to know much more about it than anybody else.
And they tend to come also in the shoulder period, which is very good for the economy.
During winter, when they can avoid the cool weather.
They're not bed and breakfast. They're not exemption tourists, thank goodness, because they bring with them different tastes and quite refined ones as well.
Where can people get more information about the department and about German in Malta in general?
Well, first of all, I would say that they can have a look at our website. They can have a look at the website of the Department of German at the University of Malta website. There they can find information on the department itself, but also on our different courses we are offering, and also, for example, the course structure if they're interested in studying German at university. Secondly, as my colleague Katrin Schrödl said before, there's our Facebook group. For everybody interested in German language and culture, also interested in events happening in Malta, for example, film nights or public talks on German topics. And we also, as mentioned before, have the brochure called German in Malta. A PDF version of this brochure can be found in the Facebook group, but also on our website. In this brochure, one can find information about all the institutions in Malta regarding German, not only the Department of German, but also the German Maltese Circle, for example, who offers the full range of German language courses and is the representative of the Goethe Institute in Malta for official language certificates, and German at schools, at the Lifelong Learning Center and other institutions.
It's very important for us to be an open department and we collaborate as much as possible with everybody. We have a very good relationship with the embassy, who have supported us extensively, for example, in the recent conference which we've had, because it gave this department a lot of visibility, but especially also with German Maltese Circle, who has been very active in Malta and who has actually provided a lot of groundwork for nourishing the love for German language in Malta. But something about the insularity conference, perhaps, from Katrin.
It was an international conference organized in Valletta, in the House of the European Commission, and it attracted scholars from international universities, as well as many colleagues from other departments here at the university, within the Faculty of Arts mainly. The topic was insularity. So it was a discussion of concepts of islands, of islandness, insular worlds, small worlds, and it was a combination of analyses of literature, language, film, different media. Currently, we're in the process of producing publications of these conference contributions. This is part of our research that we conduct collaboratively at the Department of German and within the faculty.
When you're talking about jobs as such, really, people are listening to this program saying, but yes, it's a wonderful thing to do, but what am I going to do with it? What was your answer to the students that ask you that question?
Yeah, there are many German nationals in Malta, working in Malta, because there are no Maltese who learn enough German, especially in certain professions like law. There's also the possibility of specializing in your area through German. Some of our best surgeons, for example, have specialized in German in Germany because they had actually access to that language. But then there are, of course, people, the various companies would prefer to have somebody who's a good command of German, because like that, the relationship between the mother company could be much facilitated. Tourists from Germany do tend to speak English, but obviously they would be much happier if somebody speaks them in their own language. Then there is teaching, then there is journalism, then there is, there is a plethora of opportunities, and we haven't had problems with our students so far, and I don't think there's going to be problems, because whenever they look for a job, not necessarily the best job immediately, but the career route, obviously, for every individual is something which has to be planned by the individual himself or herself. But we're very pleased with the performance so far.
Well, thank you very, very much, Professor Mario Vassallo, for coming to speak to us about German today, also with his colleagues. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you.
With me in the studio today for University Matters on Campus FM are Professor Mario Vassallo, head of the Department of German, and Professor Marc-Anthony Falzon, head of the Department of Sociology. As time is passing,
passing, I'd like now to turn to Professor Marc-Anthony Falzon, who, as I said before, is head of the Department of Sociology. Professor Falzon, just looking at the list of credits that you yourself lecture in, one immediately gets a feel of just how wide the scope of sociology is. I'll mention just a few. The sociological imaginary and practice, understanding nations and nationalism, encounters with the city, not to mention the methodological credits as well. How does your department approach this very extensive field?
A very polite way of calling me a scatterbrain.
Not at all.
But seriously, you're quite right. Sociology, like the other social sciences, is about anything to do with society, really, which is as broad and as vague as it gets. The good thing is that hopefully it all kind of ties in at some point. For example, you mentioned nations and nationalism and globalization, which sound quite different, and indeed they are, but at some point they should also dovetail quite nicely, in that, for example, globalization might be seen as the end of nationalism, for example. So that's how the two areas, in this case, would eventually overlap. So on the one hand, it's about anything to do with society, but hopefully there is some method to the madness. I think it's a very good thing that the subject, the discipline, is broad, because this also leaves much room for individual thought and creativity. So when our students, for example, get to the point of deciding what to research for the dissertations, it's really the world's their oyster, as we say. Some of them decide to work on Facebook, that is to do research on Facebook as a type of social networking. Others might, I don't know, decide to look at secondary school education, for example. It's really a very catholic spread of topics, and that's what I find terribly attractive about social science generally, not just sociology, because sociology is of course one of the social sciences. Another thing that sociology, especially as taught in our department, is, or rather isn't, I think, we try to keep it away, to steer clear of improving the planet type models. Now, some sociologists, some sociology graduates do go on to, I suppose, improve the planet in some way or other, but in our department we try to keep it as academic as possible. And that really explains why sociology never migrated to the Faculty of Social Well-being. There is, of course, a good reason for both faculties to exist, for both the Faculty of Social Well-being and the Faculty of Arts. We're in the Faculty of Arts. But I think the rationale was that the Faculty of Arts represents a more critical, perhaps more subversive even, approach to the discipline, whereas the Faculty of Social Well-being, as the name suggests, is geared towards fostering social well-being. In the Faculty of Arts, we tend to kind of take a more detached approach to the discipline, and we generally do research in a scholarly, purely academic way. You might say a bit ivory tower, but I think that's actually a good thing. I think university should preserve some semblance of ivory tower. So sociology is also about a critical analysis of society. It's not just observing society, describing society, but it is also taking it apart, hopefully to avoid doing a Humpty Dumpty on society, to bring it all together at some point. But in the process of taking society apart, disassembling it, you might say, one begins to, for example, understand the power structures implicit in society. So sociology, especially as taught within our department, and this is a conscious decision, because of course there are very different ways of doing sociology. There would be other ways of doing sociology, but the way we do sociology in our department, especially because it's part of the Faculty of Arts, is, how shall I put it, we try to kind of blow a collective raspberry at power structures and try to be a bit subversive, I suppose.
Sounds like fun.
It is fun. I think that's one of the main things that makes it attractive. Maybe that all sounds a bit teenage. there is a certain childlike element to doing research this way. Let me give you some examples to avoid statistics and census, for example. I mean, what could be more proper, you know, and stately and sort of
And that's fine. We respect statistics, we use statistics all the time, social statistics, and we use the census and all that. But we also take our time to look, for example, at the census as a political instrument. We also take our time to look at the history of census and how it came to be that people accepted census as part of what we might call statecraft, for example. Statistics as well. What's in a number? A lot, actually, because numbers have to be produced in various ways. And apart from the techniques of production, there are also lots of political implications to any, really, number that claims to represent society. So in sociology, we don't just use numbers to make some statement about society in order to improve some or other aspect of society. We don't necessarily rule that out wholesale, but we also look at, in the case of this example, numbers. We look beyond the number, sometimes to, in a very, very critical way, to say that the number is, for example, is ultimately meaningless or something like that. That's what I meant by subversive, by critical, not just big, critical for the sake of it.
No, not nihilistic.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not. I think social science, in fact, one of the beauties of social science and sociology is a certain fascination with society, so definitely not nihilistic, no.
What about the courses that you offer? You offer undergraduate courses, obviously, but also postgrad, I think.
Yes, we offer lots of undergraduate courses. Generally speaking, we offer two types, a general degree, which is part of a broader degree, and an honors degree, as part of which students are required to write what we call a thesis. These days it's a long essay, really, but that's in many cases that's the part they enjoy most, because it's where they get to be creative. It's where the student can really explore their original ideas.
So they will have chosen perhaps the part of sociology they enjoy most.
Absolutely, it's up to them to choose, and in fact we encourage students to choose something to follow their heart, as it were, to choose something which they really, which they have a really active interest in. So, for example, someone might be, fixated or with Facebook or something, and they choose that. They choose to study that for their dissertation research. And we encourage that. We think that's a good thing, because sociology should also be about a passion for some aspect of society, not just a kind of a wooden cerebral study of society. So we have that. Then we also offer postgraduate courses. We offer masters, courses at master's level, and also the doctoral level. I think we currently have 3 or 4 doctoral students. And about 20 in all master's students. I should say that sociology, according to the Tracer study held last year, this was not a Tracer study we held, so we're not producing numbers about ourselves in this case. That would be very questionable. It was a Tracer study held by a university, I believe, on behalf of the Faculty of Arts. Sociology tends to have a very high rate of postgraduate study, so many of our students, out of 190 respondents to the Tracer study, 190 over 10 years, 126, so 66.3%, exactly two-thirds, went on to do a postgraduate degree.
It's a very high
percentage. It's a very, very high. It's one of the highest rates in the Faculty of Arts, actually, and I suspect one of the highest in any faculty at university. So masters, we have a very a lovely group, a thriving group. We have MA seminars as well, which are attended by MA students plus undergraduates and also any visitors who like to show up. The last one was held last week, and we had 50 people for that. it's quite a sort of...
I can imagine it's quite animated.
It's a jolly do, yes. We always have refreshments and some wine and all that. I'm saying this because I think in any department at university, the spirit of a scholarly community, of collegiality, is important. It's not students against lecturers or first years against second years. Or we are part of one scholarly community, and the scholarly community doesn't stop with the Department of Sociology at the University of Malta, but the scholarly community is the scholarly community of sociologists worldwide. So we really encourage our students, or we try to do so, to feel from day one, to feel part of this enterprise, which goes beyond any individual member of the department, really. With respect to doctoral students, as I said, it's three or four right now. But yes, we offer a range of courses. That's also because the staff, the faculty represent, I think, a very nice cross-section of interests, of research interests, especially for postgrad level. As you know, you need people who have research interests in that field. We have, for example, at the moment it's six full-timers, resident academics, we call them, and about six or seven visiting staff. This is not a matter of hierarchy. The visiting staff, in fact, really add much to our department, because they are all specialists in their area, and they bring a very unique perspective to our department.
Before we end, unfortunately our time has passed, I hate to talk about jobs, but what kind of areas of employment would your students go for?
Okay, I hate to talk about jobs as well, but in this case, thankfully, at least it's not embarrassing, because the Department of Sociology has a really very, very good track record. And again, that's not because I say so, because I'm marketing the department, but because the TRACER study, which was a kind of scientific study, showed that 74.75% of our sociology graduates over the last 10 years are currently employed and not seeking employment. So that's a very, very, very high rate. Of, again, in the TRACER study, 73% of all respondents said they had jobs at the managerial or professional level. 81% of our graduates are on indefinite contracts, so permanent placements, really. And the best part of all, I think, 73% say that their present job matches their expectations. Now, that would mean that they have low expectations, but I don't think so.
I doubt it.
I don't think so, exactly. I think that means that 73% of our graduates over the last 10 years experience a certain job satisfaction. And this is not just, it doesn't just have to do with salary, although they tend to also enjoy good salaries, but it has to do with the fact that they are employed in sectors which they feel are rewarding in more ways than one.
Thank you very, very much, Professor Falzon, for coming also to talk to us today about the Department of Sociology. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to University Matters on Campus FM. I hope you'll join us again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye. Il-programm li għadkom kem smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.